This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes, I know there's no pomp today and everybody's disappointed. I like to get that out of the way early. Part-time pomp is enjoying himself, however. I believe playing golf somewhere. I don't know if he's coming back today or tomorrow. I can't remember. My throat again today. I sure do miss him, no limits, but I'm glad to see you.
I do, too, and I actually saw a shot of Bob at the course that he's at right now, and man, does he have a good swing on him.
Is it Pebble Beach? I think it might be. What do you mean he has a good swing on him? He sent out a video of his swing?
No, a buddy of mine showed it to me who works with Bob, and I saw his swing, and I was like, wow, I mean, no wonder why Bob golfs so frequently. The swing that he has is just so smooth.
You never said that about my swing.
I'd never seen your swing.
It stinks. That's why my swing stinks.
Why does it stink?
Because I didn't play golf as a kid, and I just don't have the history, the bodily, mental, brain history of doing that. If I went to the foul line right now, I could shoot 100 free throws, and if I missed my first 20, I would be 100% confident that the 21st would go in, and I probably know why I missed every one of the other ones. In golf, I just hope. I swing and hope. There's nothing built into the cells of my being. You've seen me shoot free throws, right?
Yeah, it's almost automatic.
Yes. This isn't automatic.
Unless you're going up against me and Biba Cummings.
Yeah, remember that?
You missed your first two. I was stunned. That left the door open for us.
Limits, did we jinx the Pitt basketball team? What's their record since that day?
Well,
they did win at Syracuse right after that.
That was very early on in the season, too. That was in December.
Yeah.
Before they hit like the heart of ACC play. And they started off decent in ACC play.
Yes. I realize that, but they've been horrible. And I think you in particular jinxed them for the rest of their season.
Probably. I'm the reason that Damian Dunn got hurt and Jalen Lowe hasn't been the star that we thought he was going to be this year.
I'm glad you can finally admit it. We have a lot on the table today. And as I was thinking about the show last night and this morning, here's what we mostly have. As I turn the camera to my horrifying face, but you can watch on 93.7thefan.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Man, there's a lot of things I don't get right now. Limits. Things I do not get is where we open today. Here's the first one. I just don't get, and Jerry Dulac wrote about it today at the Post Gazette, postgazette.com, why Russell Wilson is still a candidate here to come back. Maybe I should get it. Maybe, as we've talked about in here, it's simply desperation. It's a marriage of desperation. I can't find anybody else who will even pretend to love me, so I'll marry you. Okay. I'm in the same boat. Let's set a date. That's the only thing I can think of. Nothing else makes sense. I don't get it. Russell Wilson faded down the stretch. He looked his age. I realized there were a lot of factors, but a quarterback is supposed to rise above those factors. He's supposed to lift his team past all of that. At least some of that. He didn't. He got dragged down by it. And I realized there were mitigating circumstances, like apparently, reportedly, he couldn't change calls at the line. But it seems obvious that the coordinator isn't enamored with Russell Wilson, and that Russell Wilson isn't enamored with the coordinator. It's a hard word when you try to say it twice in a row, Limits.
Especially saying it quickly.
Which is the same as saying he's not enamored with the head coach, at least not the way they run their offense, to let Russ cook. Not to mention the fact that it sure seemed like Russ indirectly shredded the organization and embarrassed them by his people possibly leaking that story. So what's the attraction here other than desperation? Dulac writes today, and I quote, "Coach Mike Tomlin will spend 2 days each on both sides of the ball going over what improvements are needed for next season and which players, particularly free agents, will be retained or let go." Notice that Tomlin's the only person mentioned there, first of all. Another thing I do not get is with their continued lack of success, unless you consider 10-8 and getting blown out of playoff games successful, his power only seems to be increasing every year. I guess that's what you get when you're the fifth highest paid coach in all of sports, is that kind of power. Dulac goes on to write today that the Steelers have plenty of significant free agents, including quarterbacks Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and running backs Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. So the most significant of those, as Dulac says, under the headline that basically this is a big week for the Steelers to map out their future, is which quarterback they want to retain. And he says it's a split decision internally, kind of like 2021 when the Steelers were deciding if they wanted to bring back Ben for his 18th season, which they eventually did. Well, we know from what Ben has said since then that Kevin Colbert did not want that to happen. Art Rooney did want that to happen, and Mike Tomlin was sort of in between, which is saying, to me at least, he was not thrilled with the idea, but going along with what Art wanted. So I ask you, Limits, we have a split decision internally inside the Steelers' offices on who to bring back as their quarterback. The decision makers, in order of power, to me, go like this. Art is one. Tomlin is 1A. And in certain situations, I would flip that because Tomlin is basically running the franchise. So I see Art, but Art has final say when he chooses to exercise it. Art 1, Tomlin 1A, Andy Weidel 2, Omar Khan 3 or 4, depending on how you look at it, and Arthur Smith 5. Those are all the guys who have voices in this quarterback situation, in this split decision. And I just wonder who stands where. Don't you? Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall in these conversations with the Steelers split on Ben? And again, according to Ben back then, it was Art is in my corner, Kevin Colbert decidedly not, Mike in between. Where do they stand now, I wonder?
I would have loved to have been one of the Hard Knocks guys where you know that they're not allowed to show everything, or, you know, in some instances they're not allowed to show anything, like Deontay Johnson's feud, George Pickens not showing up to the game on Christmas Day on time. So I'd be curious to be one of those guys, but the overall power structure, it's going to be, I think, a Mike Tomlin decision at quarterback more than it's going to be an Omar Khan one.
What about an Art Rooney one?
I feel like Art's going to be a little bit hands-off, and, like, I don't know, like, that's just my personal opinion. And that he's going to let Mike and he's going to let Omar make the ultimate decision because he trusts in them and he doesn't think that any of the outside noise is so loud enough where it'll affect what happens inside. And what I mean by that is changing the power structure to let the GM do his job and Mike Tomlin stay in his lane.
Well, forget about that. Forget about that. It goes Rooney 1, Tomlin 1A, and they probably alternate positions. And I actually think Andy Weidel may have a more significant voice than Omar because Andy's a football guy.
And Omar's just a cap guy.
Andy Football, they call him, kind of like Donnie Football.
I don't know. I don't think we should undersell Omar as, like, you know, just the cap guy that I think a lot of people try to make him out to be.
Oh, really? You think he's a football guy?
Not as much as Andy Weidel is. But, you know, I don't think we should discredit, you know, Omar Khan's capabilities either. Andy Weidel,
I'm in between. I think we might want to do that. I'm sort of in between on Omar's tenure so far. Some good moves and some highly questionable moves. But for the purposes of this conversation, who stands where? Let's start with Art. Mark Cabali has said right on this station, and I quote, "I heard that maybe Art is more in favor of Russ than maybe the rest." Now, who has last call on this? Cabali said, "I don't know. I don't. How can it not be Art? He's the team owner. I don't think Art would stick his nose in and say, we are taking Russ and forget about it. But I think they made it crystal clear, at least Art did to me, and I do believe him on this one. They want to bring one of them back, and I think it's going to depend on which option they have." Okay. So at least it sounds like Cabali saying that Art's in favor of Russ. So that's significant whether or not Art wants to stick his nose in it or not. If my boss came in here and said, "Hey, I'd love you to talk baseball in the next segment. I don't want to make your decisions for you, but I'm in favor of talking baseball in the next segment." Guess what I'm going to talk about in the next segment? Baseball. If Art lets it be known that Russ is his favorite here, then that obviously holds an awful lot of weight. That's what Cabali's saying. Art has said really nothing publicly other than, "Yeah, they're both fine," and I'm paraphrasing here. "They're both fine. I guess we'd like one of them to be the starter. They're both interested in coming back here. The quarterback room is wide open. We're going to look in the draft." I don't know what he said. He certainly hasn't committed to one. That's for sure. But we'll go with Cabali for now and say Art favors Russ. What about Mike Tomlin? Which one would you guess that he favors based on anything he's said and anything he's done? I'm going to go with Justin Fields because I think Mike Tomlin is, I'm not going to use the word enamored again, seduced by the idea of a running quarterback. And I think he thinks it's time. I think if you ask Mike Tomlin, you injected him with True Serum, you went into these rooms and you were a little fly on the wall, you'd hear him say, "Let's go with Justin." But that's just a guess. I do not have cold or hard facts. I don't think anybody else does either, except for the people in that room. We've heard some things that he still favors Russ, that he loves Russ. He had a funny way of showing it late in the season. They completely put the handcuffs on Russell Wilson in the last game of the year against Cincy. They let a different quarterback throw one of the biggest passes, if not the biggest pass of the game, in Cleveland. And then I don't even know what happened in Baltimore, but I know I wouldn't have left that playoff game feeling great about Russell Wilson. So I'm going to go ahead and say that Mike Tomlin, I think, based on available evidence, would put the vote in for Justin Fields. So now we're down to Andy Weidel in my hierarchy, or it sounds like in yours, and Omar Khan. Who do you think Weidel and Khan would favor in this scenario? I'm going to say for Weidel, Justin Fields, because I'm going to bet he sees him as maybe a lesser version of Jalen Hurts.
I agree with that. I think the mobility factor of just the way that Eagles offense operated, and we know that Andy Weidel wants to build up this Steelers team in the trenches. And back to Tomlin briefly, like, I found it pretty fascinating when he said, like, when they ultimately made the move to Wilson and benched Fields, like, the idea, would you go back to Fields at some point? Like, if Wilson struggles, would you go back to him? And basically saying that, like, that's an end-all, be-all, like, if Russ gets benched, like, that's it.
Right.
Like, that is the
That's a good
that's
point
it.
And a good memory. He also did say, though, absolutely. You know, he left everything open.
Right.
But you're right. He did say that.
So that's what makes me think, based on the results of the final five games of the year, that Mike Tomlin would also prefer Justin Fields, because even though there weren't any more games, hypothetically, if there were another five, it probably would have been Fields' job at that point. Like, if it was the same thing that happened in, like, the middle of the season with Wilson that happened at the end of the year, I think they would have went to Fields.
He would have. I think so, too. I think he was going to live and die with Russ for the rest of this season, though. So I guess I disagree, actually, on that. I think it was Russ's show. Although, again, they had a funny way of showing, Tomlin did, how confident he was in Russell Wilson. All right. Then we get to other things I don't get. Well, that leaves Arthur Smith, and I think we know where he stands based on all his comments about Justin Fields and maybe indirectly Russell Wilson. I'm convinced that the votes would fall this way based on all available evidence. I don't know where Omar stands. I don't. So I'm going to have him as absentia. I'm going to go Art, Russ, Mike, Justin, Weidel, Justin, Artie Smith, Justin. What does that tell us?
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Well, other than that, that tells us that if Art, if that's true, if that scenario's true, that if Art wants to stick his nose in here, if he wants to be the boss and make the decision, from what Cabali says, he would say, you know what? We're bringing back Russell Wilson. And I got to tell you, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I was all for it last offseason. My eyes have seen what they've seen. I don't get it. And I'm not saying I think Justin Fields is the long-term answer either. But the position they're in, if I had to choose between the two, to me, I'd go with Fields. But here's something else I don't get. And I'd love to hear your opinions on this matter. Yeah, we've talked about the Steelers quarterbacks a lot. But as Dulac says, this is the week. This is it. They're mapping out their future this week. Where are we headed? Legal tampering starts on March 10th. We all know that illegal tampering starts way before that. So people like Fields, I would imagine, are getting a rough idea of what their market might be. So this is the week. This is the week that the Steelers' brain trust, such as it is, maps out their future. And I'm going to say and stick to the fact or the idea that it's going to be Justin Fields. I could be wrong. I was down to near zero on the idea of Russ coming back for obvious reasons. I read the Dulac story. I mean, the organization had to come out of that story totally fuming and totally embarrassed. And it seems very clear that the offensive coordinator doesn't want to let Russ play the way he wants to play. But I also understand the desperation factor. And if the owner wants him, that's a lot. Even if he doesn't stick his nose in, even if he doesn't exert his power, just knowing that Art favors Russ, if Cabali's right, that might be enough to bring Russ back. And I don't get it. And here's another thing I don't get. Oh, limitless wonder. This comes out of the Dulac story today as well. They got to make some decisions at running back. Of course they do. Warren is a restricted free agent. And Dulac says, you know, it'll cost them only $3 million or so as a right of first refusal offer. But then it comes to Harris. He says Tomlin has long favored Harris. Even though his career yards per carry average is nearly a yard lower than Warren's, Dulac writes, 3.9 to 4.8. I'll say it again, limits. I don't get it. He's long favored Harris. Then why in the last games of the year did Harris get 6, 9, 13, 12, and 6 carries? That doesn't sound like a guy the head coach favors. And I realize they fell behind, well, in pretty much every one of those games. but not behind enough mostly where they couldn't run the ball anymore.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Not to mention the fact there's that weird issue of Najee being a captain as a rookie and then never being a captain again. And we know the head coach behind the scenes can and has manipulated that vote. Now, I don't doubt Najee's attitude, his desire, or his durability, but here's another part of why I don't get this. Is his production. And, you know, back in November, I was arguing at the beginning of November that Najee should come back. 3 years, about $8 million a year. Seemed reasonable. Playing the best football of his career at that point. But I also pointed out in that story that my opinion, like all of ours, tends to fluctuate on Najee, and he soon backslid. And now we're left with a pretty big sample size of a guy who's had over 1,000 carries in his career. And the numbers are pretty paltry. 3.9 yards a carry with a long run of 37 yards. And I've said this 100 times in the last week.
You think I can name a couple of the running backs just based off memory?
Yes. Here are some lesser-known Steelers runners who averaged more yards a carry and had a longer run in their career than Najee does. And he's got over 1,000 carries. All of these guys top him on both counts. Higher yards per carry and at least one run longer than what Najee's at, which is 37 yards. Limits, I'll cross them off as you mention them.
Walter Abercrombie.
Very good, that's one.
Jonathan Dwyer.
That's two.
LeGarrette Blount.
That's three.
Foo.
That's four.
D'Angelo Williams, I think, is on that list.
That's five.
Oh, man. Who else? There were some other just random names.
I can't remember if you named these people because I didn't write down what you just said. Did you say Tim Worley?
No, I did not.
Did you say Richard Huntley?
Very recognizable running back. Did not.
Did you say, you said Najee Davenport?
Did not say Najee Davenport yet. I was taking my eye on Najee Harris.
Ernest Jackson? Rodney Carter? Eric Pegram? Come on. I realize a lot of these guys had way fewer carries, and your yards per carry will go down the more you tote it. I get it. But Tim Worley, for God's sakes, had about a third the number of touches as Najee and averaged more per carry with a longer run. You're telling me with 1,000 carries that Worley wouldn't have at least equaled Najee? He's not a home run hitter. He's durable. He's highly intense. He doesn't hit homers. You can get a lot of guys to do what he does and more. I don't believe in the saying that availability, your best ability is availability. I don't believe in that. Limits is available to be the Steelers' next quarterback. Does that mean he's a good choice?
I can play in the Turkey Bowl.
No offense. In three playoff games, Najee is averaging 2.77 yards per carry with no touchdowns. Running backs can be found everywhere. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers got Bucky Irving in the fourth round. He ran for 1,122 yards on 5.4 yards a carry and had at least three runs longer than Najee's career best. He's better. A guy they just took in the fourth round. So are lots of other guys. I think it's time me and everyone else, Mike Tomlin included, come to that conclusion. What are we doing? You're going to dump money, even relatively small running back money, into that? No, use it somewhere else. I don't get it. You know what else I don't get? This idea that the Pirates still have a big move in them. What and where? It looks to me like their lineup is set and their lineup stinks. And here's the other thing I don't get about that. What move are they going to make? But here's the other thing. Is Henry Davis really going to start in AAA? Don't you have to give this guy an opportunity at some point? Limits?
I think at this point, he is likely to be their backup catcher.
Over who?
Over Andy Rodriguez, and they're going to put him in AAA to start the year just to build him up. And
what about the human rain delay? Jason Delay.
If Jason Delay is stealing a spot from Henry Davis at this point, there are considerable issues.
They didn't sign a veteran to stash him at AAA.
Well, I mean, they've had Delay in their system for a long time, and they can just easily DFA him and probably...
So if I asked you to bet right now, will Henry Davis be on this opening day roster, you're saying yes?
51-49, yes.
Okay.
Barely. Just barely.
I'm saying no. And on one hand, I do get it. He's the word struggle doesn't begin to describe Henry Davis at the plate so far in his brief major league career. But here's where I don't get it. Do you really have like hugely better options at the positions that he could play? I don't get why he didn't take reps at first base this offseason, at least some, so he would be available. I don't get why you're blocking him with a 38-year-old right-handed DH. You're telling the world you still believe in him. Of course, I guess you kind of have to say that there's no panic with Henry Davis. I don't get the whole Henry Davis pick at this point.
You know what they're going to argue? It gave us the financial flexibility to draft Bubba Chandler in the third round, and look how great he's going to become. But it's the number one pick.
I mean, when you're twisting logic to the point saying, hey, look what we did later on in a draft where we blew the number one pick. Aren't we smart? Then you've reached a very bad place.
The number one pick in the draft. And it's just what is just so crazy to me where they can screw up the number one pick and they did in Henry Davis and then find the greatest pitcher on the face of the earth in Paul Skeens too with the number one pick.
I just want to find out once and for all. Maybe some people already think they know with Henry Davis, and I don't blame you if you think that. I don't. John Parrotto's been on with us and has said, man, it's hard to imagine this turning out well. But I'm all for, I think you almost have to. I think it's incumbent upon you. He spent a lot of time in AAA last year. He hits AAA pitching. I think he has to be on this roster and get some at-bats. Listen, if they had a really good team, if they had a good team, and it was like, yeah, we can afford to stash this guy away. We're past the point of, quote, needing to find out about guys. I would get it. They don't have a good team. They don't. So find out about the guy. Maybe he'll surprise you. Offer him some confidence. Offer him a spot in the lineup, but everywhere he turns, he's blocked.
And isn't that what was so frustrating last year when the likes of Rowdy Tellez and other guys like the Brian De La Cruz, who they acquired at the deadline, some of these veterans, Yasmani Grandal, were taking at-bats away from younger players, taking it away from Billy Cook, Nick York, just to find out about them. I mean, at this point, they just need Jack Sawinski and Henry Davis to be on the roster at the start of the year.
I don't know about Jack Sawinski.
I
feel like I've seen enough with Jack Sawinski.
This is the last chance. This is your shot.
No, he should already be gone. And why didn't they keep Brian De La Cruz? Is he worse than Jack Sawinski? He showed power.
I would have been completely fine with them bringing him back.
I wouldn't because he stinks, but compared to Sawinski.
He still hit 20 home runs when they acquired him in Miami. Like, he was awful when they acquired him, the worst of anybody that was acquired at the trade deadline.
He's the worst player in baseball. Well, other than Key Brian Hayes last year, Alika Williams, maybe Adam Frazier, maybe Rowdy Tellez.
Maybe Josh Van Meter.
They have all the have all the worst players in baseball. That's no way to build a lineup.
Drew Maggi.
I love Drew Maggi, and they should have kept him. Alika Williams had a higher average than Adam Frazier last year. Remember Gormy the Owl yesterday said there's hope with Adam Frazier. Do you feel that way?
No.
It's another thing I don't get.
If this was 5 years ago, Adam Frazier, as David Freese said, would maybe be in the race for a batting title. But right now, I want to see if he's in the Mendoza line batting title race at the moment, if he's going to make it there.
I mean, Brian Reynolds said it, and I noticed you used the quote on your show last night, which was wonderful entertainment limits.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you listened. I'm surprised you didn't prank call me.
I did. I was going to call him. Well, I can't tell you what I was going to call in as, but I was. Yeah, to try and get back. I'm going to use it for next time.
Good. I didn't see it.
Brian Reynolds said in so many words at Pirate Fest, we have to have a set lineup with guys at their positions in the lineup all the time. They're not close to that. Every single guy here is like a multiple position guy. And they don't play all of them that great, and none of them can hit. It'd be wonderful to have a team filled with utility men if they were good hitters. None of them are. None.
They could make everybody likes to critique Derek Shelton for changing up the lineup every single time. What if with all the utility guys, they just swung around the diamond every other game?
Like a volleyball team?
Yeah, like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa this inning, you're going to go to third. Keep Ryan Hayes, try out shortstop.
You could seriously do that.
All right, rotate.
Limits, I think you've hit on something. This is one thing they could do, and they could do it in the middle of games. Start with catcher, and everybody rotate to the left. So, Endy's your starting catcher. Rotate. He moves to first. Your first baseman, who I don't know on a given day, could move to second. Gonzalez moves to short. Kiner-Falefa to third. And then you rotate your outfield as well. Yeah. I think you've stumbled on something here. The Pirates may be a very good volleyball team.
They're telling Brian Reynolds to go play in right field now instead of playing left field.
That's right.
He previously played center field.
The center fielder played shortstop, and the left fielder's a right fielder.
And Joey Bart could play first.
So as I've said, right.
Yeah.
That's what I think you've hit on it here.
Henry Davis can go back to right field. We know how much of an adventure
that was. Of course,
or
first base. So he couldn't be worse at different positions than some of the guys they have in there. I mean, it sure beats on any given day looking out at the diamond, and after years of tanking and high draft picks and acquiring prospects with high ceilings, it's unbelievable to me that you can look out on the diamond on any given day and see a one-armed catcher, a one-armed first baseman, an underachieving second baseman, a shortstop who's not a shortstop, a permanently injured third baseman, a right fielder who's a left fielder, a center fielder who's a shortstop, a left fielder whose most notable hit in recent years was slapping Jock Peterson across the face after a fantasy football dispute, and then I haven't even gotten to the bullpen. That could be your lineup on a given day. I think you've hit on it.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln.
I think every inning, it would actually be entertaining. It would be something like Bingo Long and the Traveling All-Stars. Every inning, in the middle of an inning, the Pirates just rotate. And they move Endy. No, you're right. Joey Bart from catcher to first. Endy from first to second. Gonzalez from second to short. Kiner Falefa from short to third, and then all the outfielders swap positions as well. You've hit on it, Limits.
And that is genuinely what has happened before. Like, Nick Gonzalez has played short. He came up as a shortstop.
Yes.
Kiner Falefa has played third. Endy's played second in the minors.
Right. One of these decades, they'll have a team where everybody has one position, and they're pretty good at baseball, but not yet. Rotate!
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.